Hey there, welcome to The League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz, I'm here with Brooksy. Brooksy, what a historical slash sad day it is.
Yeah, it is, man. It is. Good to be able to do this with you again after a couple of years off. But interesting times to start it back up again.
Yeah.
I figure it's sort of fitting, right?
Now, what's our new title called?
The Lockdown Life with Brooksy and Shanaz, isn't it?
The Lockdown Life. Okay, I can live with that. I don't want to, but I can.
We'll see how long we have no sport and NRL. And, I guess it'd be a good opportunity to have a chat about things, sport and non-sport related, over the next few months.
So Monday, 23rd of March, the NRL announced they're going to go into hibernation for an undisclosed amount of time. This comes a day after the AFL said they're going into lockdown until at least the end of May, I think it was.
Yeah, May 31st, yeah.
And now, Brooksy, we were talking a bit before we started recording, and we were saying that it was such a strange position to be in that we love our league life, we love our rugby league, we love our football, we love our sport. It's also our lifeblood, it puts food on our table, but we also love the human race, and we're in this weird position where everything else had shut down, but the league kept going ahead for financial reasons mainly. And it was this weird clash of we need to do this, and the community was like, we want it, but we know it's kind of bad for everyone.
Yeah.
And it finally came to a head. Weird position for guys like you and I in this industry.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like the first few weeks of the season, it was bizarre. It was sort of eerie going into work. I worked on a couple of shows and games and the pregame show on Sunday. I was doing Sunday Ticket, and just when we were going to air, we were hearing that, you know, the AFL was going to shut down. We reported it. The guys covered it off quite well. But you sort of left that after the Titans-Eels game going, this could be it. This could be the end of the season. Maybe one more round. But there was announcement of borders shutting down the southern states. It was just eerie the past fortnight, mate. And it was good. There was some great footy. Shame the fans were watching at home instead of at the ground. But, you know, it was an interesting time, and it's going to be interesting times going forward in terms of what we do for work and as a society. But, I think the last few weeks, we've sort of opened our eyes to where we're at as a country, and we've got to go ahead with this with the end of the seasons and sort of sort this stuff out.
It's funny you just said something, where we're at as a country. I'm not really liking it at the moment.
I haven't been studying much on the politics side of things, Shanaz. So.
It's not even about politics, it's just the behaviour of people. And yeah. I know desperate times bring out desperate people, and I get all that, but I don't know, from the people who aren't taking this too seriously to the hoarders.
Yeah.
But that is my
nature.
The beachgoers, yeah. But that is my nature to kind of go a bit darker than lighter, whereas, you know, I see things a bit, I see things in different tones, shall I say, and I really don't like what I'm seeing at the moment. But as you say, we do have to stay positive where we can.
Yeah. For sure. I think there's a lot of people it's hard because what we're going through, you know, I was saying to someone before, like, I've been here pretty much all day at home.
Yeah.
And it would be funny having little cameras put around, like, and watching my dealings throughout the day, and just watch me go around picking up a dumbbell, cleaning the kitchen, cooking, like doing weird things, like watching TV, laughing at TV shows.
Now I might give Steve Crawley a call tomorrow and tell him I've got a new idea for a show.
like a Gogglebox Big Brother style.
Let's talk about that. The Gogglebox Fox NRL. Were you behind that? Was that your thing?
No, definitely not mine.
Oh, how do you pick for it?
There was a discussion in the office, and it was sort of like a group thing that was like, it was floated about, and everyone was like, yeah, let's give it a go. And a couple of my colleagues, Annabelle and Michael, started ringing up some people throughout the the week vetting them for how much of a fan they are. And there's some of them provided. I had the Penrith Dragons game. We had the Jones family from Kirrawee, I think it was. And they provided some great reactions to some of the tries, including the Dufty intercept. But also there was a great reaction at the Stephen Crichton try at the end of the game and sealed the deal for Penrith. And that night's group of friends on Sunday we had during Sunday Ticket were hilarious. They had a conga line going.
If my team was playing that way, I'd be in a conga line too. They were great.
Yeah. So it was a good little initiative that we had for round two with no fans being in the stadiums and arenas. So yeah, I think something that we can look forward to doing in the future. And that this is, the silver lining to having this issue too, Shanaz, is that we've sort of started thinking about new ways of doing things. And I work with some amazing people that have some crazy ideas and great ideas. And I know that once this league the league starts again, we'll be able to unveil some of those new things. And hopefully, we get to do that sooner than later.
Yeah, it was good. It was one of those things that I was happy that they tried, because, I mean, I think it's been done overseas, but for an Australian sports program, I thought it was a big step forward, but it was a big step. It was ballsy, I thought.
Yeah, we did some funny things too. Like I got Matty Russell up into the Granger household at Leichhardt before the game.
Yeah.
And he delivered it so well, like walking up the stairs, going up to the attic room, and then going out to the balcony and showing the eighth wonder of the world, Leichhardt Oval.
What about that?
Great perspective. And yeah, it's just, I think, like I said before, like you go through these times where you try new things, and it was great. Like probably wouldn't have, thought about that if there was fans going to games. That just gives a little perspective. We had the house next door during the Manly Roosters game scaffold.
The scaffolding, yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny things like that. And people are just doing anything to watch rugby league now, they were doing anything to watch rugby league. But it just showed, like, back to what we were saying about the league, they really wanted to get some games going. There was probably financial reasons, but, people were really excited for the 2020 season after the way 2019 finished with the Raiders and the Roosters going back-to-back. Some really good teams that we've seen in the first fortnight too, staking their claim. Like you said, Newcastle were looking good. Parra were looking really good.
Yeah.
Even though they might have played some teams that we didn't think were going to be in the top eight at the start of the year, but... Yeah, there was the Broncos too, man. Like their young forward pack looked really good.
Hey, don't leave Katoni Staggs out of this conversation.
Yeah. Well, how was today, Shanaz? The NRL came out and said that his one of his tries shouldn't have been allowed.
Which one?
A hat trick. Oh, take your pick. No, I think it might have been off the last kick? One. I think so. Okay. Boy, you got me there,
man. He's a good player. Good player.
Yeah, he's a really good player. They've got, I think we were talking about that last year, where they've had all these young guys come through and debut over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And they probably just weren't ready. And you sort of saw it in that final against Parra where they got, I think it was 54-0.
Yeah.
And they've just come out this year and everyone sort of stepped up. You've got Payne Haas has gone to another level in the first 2 weeks. David Fifita went to the next level. We saw Katoni Staggs, really good. And they lost Lodge and Bird to long-term injuries pre-season. So
that's a good point.
I think people, Broncos fans were excited that they had a good young team on the park. Brody Croft, your boys are 2.0, was looking good.
Cooper Cronk.
He's not quite, but
he looked pretty good.
Definitely a good stand-in for if he was in a movie, if he started acting.
Now, have you worked with the great Cooper Cronk this year yet?
Yeah, I have twice. The Friday game in round one down in Canberra.
Did you get weak at the knees? Did your voice go high? What happened?
Sideline? No, I'm not you, Shanaz. I was very professional. and I worked with him on Sunday Ticket just yesterday.
Have you got his phone number?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I do, but I said no because I know you're going to ask for it or something.
Well, it's times like this where I could really do with some words from Cooper Cronk, you know.
All right. Well, yeah, go back and watch Sunday Ticket. He's I don't really want to talk about people I work with, but in too much detail, but he's been awesome to work with. And I think he's come across really well on the TV the past fortnight. It's just a shame he couldn't, get a few together to start the season because he's been amazing. I'm sure he'll get his chance over the next week or two. We'll probably try and get all our guys in to do some weird and wacky stuff. But I've been impressed with him, whether I worked with him or saw him on other shows, with how he's handled it so far.
Now, this isn't a Fox Sports podcast.
No.
Can you hear me okay, Brooksy? Everything all right?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah,
this isn't a Fox Sports podcast, but can you tell us what's going on? I believe there's a little bit of new programming happening, at least from tomorrow onwards, for the short term maybe, or?
Yeah, as was shown on 360 tonight in Controversy Corner, there's going to be a show, Fox League Live, where some of our talent will come in and do a morning show and an afternoon show tomorrow, something different. Obviously, we'll be reacting to what's happened with the league and any up-to-date news that comes through tomorrow. So, you know, it's time to start doing some new things, Schnaz, and the team's looking to put out some really good stuff over the next few days and weeks.
That's good. That's good news.
That's good. It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Now, you and I might do some Curb related chats maybe once I've watched the last episode this time tomorrow, maybe.
I reckon we definitely do a little ep on the review of season 10 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know, there's been some really good cameos, Schnaz.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a really good season, I thought. Vince Vaughn, Isla Fisher, Clive Owen.
Yeah.
There was a couple tonight too. Okay. I can't wait to delve deeper into that for our next episode.
Now we are going to talk about it another episode, but the woman in last week's episode, week 9, who played the waitress.
Yes, from she's from Broad City.
Is she?
Abby Jacobson. Yeah.
Because I didn't really know where she was from, but I thought she was pretty cute.
Yeah, she's funny. Have you seen Broad City?
Oh, maybe.
Two girls living in New York, just living their best life.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right, it's a good show.
Okay.
Pretty funny. I think you'd enjoy it.
And football-wise, we've only had 16 games, but what has caught your eye? I mean, I know you're a positive guy, but, man, Justin Holbrook's going to be pretty bummed about his team.
Yeah, the Titans.
Ooh.
Both of them actually part of a game and a show. So watching them, they've got some good talent there. Like there's some good players, but the team's just not clicking. Like they had a bit of a rough off season with Jai Arrow signing with the Rabbitohs, and they had a few injuries to start the season. No Brimson, Fotowaker was out the first game. They had Shannon Boyd out, which is turning into unfortunately, a pretty average signing. He had the talent, but they're already so loaded in the forwards. And
They spent a lot of money on him.
You can't help but think that money could have come in handy in retaining Jai Arrow, because I think that was the main reason why he went to the Rabbitohs. He the money, and he wanted to stay on the Goldie. But look, they've got to work something out there. I think Holbrook's a good coach. He seems like he's had good pedigree over in Super League.
Yeah.
And some of those guys that have come over have done well. Trent Robinson, for example. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, like I think there's a few players there that they've got to sort of work out what to do. Ryan James and Nathan Peets are off contract next year. And there was word in the Telegraph that David Fifita was, the Titans were going hard after David Fifita. And like going back to what you said about what I liked in the first 2 weeks, he's been amazing. He was better in round one than in round two, but you can just see the talent there for someone. I think he's 19 years old, maybe 20.
I mean, Brisbane aren't going to let him go.
Surely not.
They can't.
Okay, so of their forward pack, Schnaz,
oh boy,
you could only keep three of them, three of the young guys, Carrigan, Flegler, Haas, Fifita, Lodge, Pangai. Who are you keeping?
I really like Carrigan. I hadn't seen too much of him. Is he the captain?
He is the co-captain.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would keep him. I would keep Payne Haas, and I would keep David Fifita.
Yeah, I definitely would keep Fifita and Haas. The third one's interesting. Pangai, I was thinking about it.
Like, too angry.
He had a few suspensions. We were looking at, his games to charge rate. And yeah. I think he gets charged every 11 games.
And it's always that.
So two a season.
Second effort over the top, that kind of grubby stuff you don't like to see.
Yeah, it wasn't really called for. Four games, so he'll be out until the 2021 season.
We laugh and we shouldn't. I mean,
yeah, no, we gotta have fun these times. I'm gonna quickly segue to something, but I saw a really interesting documentary about, and bear with me here.
Sure.
It was about the Holocaust and joke, like jokes and comedy around the Holocaust. And
go easy, Brooksy.
Yeah, no, bear with me. There was a lady that was in Auschwitz, and she was saying that there was a couple of comedians in there that were doing like all tricks and jokes and stuff, because they had to like they couldn't just sit there the whole time and be sad and be angry. There was actually moments where people would do stuff and would lighten the mood, and it became like a real dark humor sort of place where it was like, I guess it's like watching Curb or, watching Larry David sort of skits where he makes interesting topics really dark, like dark humor, and dark and humorous.
No, I've never ever thought about that. And I've, studied it and, had like, down the line, I've had, family who were involved and were there. I've never once thought about that. And that is fascinating to think about.
Yeah, because it was like, they were just saying that, you can't stay down, like particularly when you're in groups, like for that long. And they were saying people were making little cracks about the guards and how they dressed and all this stuff.
I should hope so.
Things like that that got them through those times.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes, and I'm not comparing now to that, but
no, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
you got to make fun of some the interesting times, but yeah, I can't even remember what the joke was that we did.
I mean, now we are talking about it. I mean, it's crazy how quickly this has happened over the last month, and even things I'm reading tonight about Spain and Italy and. And, the head of the NRL was pretty much saying in his press conference, we've been told it's going to get worse. And he was kind of hinting about how bad it's going to get if, that's an if we don't do everything we can to slow it down and just, avoid it.
How was the thing for me today is where Peter Volandis, not the rugby league, but when he was saying he's... pandemic expert said that it's time, he was like, it's not getting, this is actually getting to the stage where we have to do something. So I think that for me, like a lot of the press conferences were very much the same rhetoric in terms of the information that was coming out, and he was saying we've got two really good experts, he said we had experts in pandemics, and the tone very much changed today with that. And that for me was the big thing where, it got to the stage where it was a bit more more than rugby league.
It was.
Rugby
yeah.
league.
It was.
What do you think of the rugby league? Do you reckon we should call it rugby league going forward?
I do. I really do. I was at work and the first big press conference came out, and I don't think I'd heard him speak. If I had, I hadn't paid much attention. Or maybe he didn't utter those two words. I don't know. But was it on Saturday week? Whenever it was, I was watching it with a fellow colleague, Lincoln, who you know. And I couldn't believe it the first time he said it. I was like, what did he just say? And then he said it like five times in 2 minutes. So, you know, he's already become a bit of a character and a bit of a, I mean, what a moment, you know, he's been in the gig for not very long and he's making these calls and.
Well, he's had, I thought straight up, he's been impressive. Like it doesn't matter where you sit on the argument of how the NRL and ARLC have gone with this. And I just think he's been impressive, and he's had that experience in the racing industry with the equine flu as well, where they pretty much were shut down. It was like we had the perfect person for this moment that had gone through a similar thing in a different sporting industry. And I think they were very methodical with how they played it out over the past, let's say, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, with their press conferences. And I just, you can't fault him. And I don't think we could have had a better person in the position. And for them to come out quite often with the press conferences and stuff, it just shows you how important playing games are for the league. And it's going to be interesting. Yeah. The shows tonight did touch on it about what's the NRL going to look like at the end of this virus? Like once we flatten the curve and the numbers start trickling down, does the NRL still have 16 teams?
I mean, I was watching 360 like I do most nights, in all honesty. And, you know, it's we can say this because we know them. We're friends with some of them. You know, Kenty, he's not one to, how do I put this? He's not one to, you know, say something controversial, not for the sake of it, because he believes in it. And, you know, he and Buzz were like, well, this could be changing, that there might be 10 teams, it might be a Super League, you know, who knows what it might be. But I did think that they were going a bit too hard, a bit too early, like, because we just don't know. So it was a little bit of you know, sensationalism, which is what TV and news is all about. But I think we won't have a true indication for a little while, because, I mean, all the clubs, I mean, I know down at Cronulla, they're, you know, unfortunately doing a lot of cost cutting right now. And all the clubs.
They all are, Schnaz.
Yeah, all the clubs are, yeah. But, I mean, we don't really, you know, the first ones that they talk about are Manly, Cronulla, and, you know, a few other clubs. I mean,
A lot of the clubs were at risk, right?
Leagues club, and now the Leagues clubs are shut for we don't know how long. I mean,
yes,
there's no more pokies, there's no more restaurants in Leagues clubs. It's done.
Yeah, there's clubs that are so reliant on the Leagues clubs. You know that they've got not just one but three. That all their income into the club comes from them.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing how Australians were getting behind the Warriors the last few weeks too, Schnaz.
Yeah, so they should.
Developed that all-in Australian membership. I actually got one.
Yeah, cool. I wasn't aware of it.
Other Dragons fans will probably hate this, but I've never been a member of the Dragons or the Steelers. And I'm now a member of the Warriors. I'm now a Warriors member, and that's the first team I've got a membership with.
Let me ask you this. Do you get any you know, stickers or flags or a hat or anything?
You get a discount on merchandise, but it was $20, just over.
That's pretty good.
I think it was just an offer that they did. It was a great thing that they did. It wasn't they were going to make a heap of money out of it, but, you know, it was good to sort of, for them to see that Australians really honoured what they did. And, you know, they're getting paid six figures, a lot of those guys, and well and truly in the six figures. And it's not like they've got a, you know, they can stop playing, and they're still earning good money.
Yeah.
I think it was just symbolic of like the Aussies and league fans, rugby league fans, just getting behind them and saying, here's $20. We really enjoy the fact that you've come out here, and respect that you've come out to Australia and stayed here and played your second game at Seabus.
I wasn't comfortable with them sticking around for too long. I didn't think it was overly fair. I just, they've got kids and wives and parents and siblings. I just thought that's too much to ask for a full season. A shortened season, maybe we can work it out, but I thought that was a little bit OTT.
It's interesting though, Schnaz, because you see, particularly in America, in baseball's one, NBA and hockey, very much so. I think the NFL's probably more aligned to the NRL sort of model where, you know, you're home and away, you play one game a week. But a lot of those other American sports, the teams are on the road for a long period of time. You know, it can be a week, 2 weeks. I'm not saying that that's...
Yeah, but this was going to be 24 weeks.
But that two-week period is something that happens quite a lot throughout those, those seasons. They do get paid a lot of money. But some of those NRL players are on a decent amount of money and, you know, to be away from their family. But I thought it was interesting after round one when Cameron Smith did the presser at Brookie.
Loved it. Loved it.
And he said, I think it's probably in the best interest to shut it down. And he's the president or the general president of the RLPA.
Is he really?
Yeah. Well, he was. I remember him getting the role from Clint Newton last year.
Right.
And so he's someone who has a voice and has the voice of the players. And I think some of them were agreed and disagreed. And a lot of people in the media disagreed with Cameron's stance because he gets a lot of money from the league. So
yeah. And I understand that opinion about people. I understand people saying, oh, you earn millions and you have a lot in the bank and, you know, you don't speak to the everyday man. I get that. But the way he spoke made so much sense. And I wasn't really hearing that from a lot of other figures. And he gave reasons why. He said, you know, we have parents and we have kids and we have people that whom if they get it, they could get really, really sick. And I thought it was just really common sense and it proved how dumb some rugby league fans are by bagging him about it. Because even if you don't agree with it, I mean, he's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And he's one of the people that, you know, he actually, his voice holds a lot because of his standing in the game, not just as a Storm representative, but also with the Players Association.
Hey, what did you think about Aaron Woods razzing him about his shoes being untied as he went for the goal? Oh, one of the all-time worst. Brilliant.
What a great little addition to the coverage now that there's no fans and pumping up the mic. Yeah.
A lot of dialogue. You're hearing that. A lot of dialogue.
I thought it was him. The way I wasn't sure straight away, but when I heard Smitty, I knew it was him. It's like, you know, you hear rugby league and you know it's Volandi. Sorry.
Have you...
rugby league joke.
No, keep them coming. Have you...
I've used all my challenges. I'm out.
Have you interviewed or worked with Aaron Woods at all?
I dealt with him in the shoots. Yeah. The preseason shoots a couple of times.
He's a top fella. Guy. Oh, yeah.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
Really good
fella. And you've dealt with him a bit with the Sharkcast?
I met him. I haven't interviewed him. We met him and hung out with him a bit when he joined the club. And, just a top guy. I was pleasantly surprised at how nice he was and how down to earth he was. He seemed like the sort of guy you'd want to have a beer with, that's for sure.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. He seems like that.
What else is going on, Brooksy, in this horrible world we're living in? What's going on?
What else? Well, that's about it, mate. Like, it's just, I guess, you know, there's been some good footy. I really enjoyed watching the Roosters-Seagulls game on Saturday. I thought that was possibly one of the best 9-8 games you'd ever see. And it's interesting. Cherry Evans, another game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how many he's got over the years. I remember the doing a few Manly games in the past few years where there was a Warriors one where he kicked a right-footed field goal to tie it up and then a left-footed field goal, I think, to win.
Yep.
And Brandy lost his shit, commentating it. There was the one down in Melbourne last year to get the win down at Amy Park. There was the one at Shark Park. I remember doing that game I think it was last year or the year before on a Sunday arvo down at the old Shark Park. But another great game winner. He kicked the winning field goal, but the Tom Trbojevic try saver was just
scary,
knocking the ball out.
What about that?
How about Tommy Trbojevic's weekend, Schnaz? So he goes to Leichhardt, has an absolute blinder against possibly the greatest fullback, greatest player in the game at the moment, James Tedesco.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, he goes to play and plays at Mona Vale Golf Club and wins the Stapleford Championship, scoring 45.
Really?
Mate, I think that is that the best cross code weekend a player has ever had?
I can't think of too many others, to be honest.
It's up there. I remember there was a Deion Sanders played a baseball game and then went tried to get there for Sunday night football with the Falcons.
Yeah, right.
There's a few, there's not that many stories where someone's had a weekend as good as Tommy Trbojevic.
Well, I think if he stays fit whenever the league, rugby league comes back, I think that they're a real shot at doing something special. I know they lost the first week against, who they lose to, at Melbourne. But there was a very physical game and they weren't blown away. And I think Manly, I don't know about their depth, but I thought they had a really good chance of doing something good this year.
Yeah, they do. The depth is the key. Mm. But I think the key players there have been amazing. Mm. You look at the two props, and it goes. You see how, like, we've talked about other positions and how important or really unimportant they are, but I think from the first two games, the first two rounds this season, having a good middle forward group goes a long way. And Manly have that in Fanua Blake, Tapau and Jake Trbojevic.
Yep.
But they get a lot of meters out of the first two. And then Jake, obviously his creativity and his defense, the defense is so good.
Yeah.
Hey, Shanaz, I might drop out shortly. Okay. My internet was just, yeah.
That's okay.
So mark that down.
That's okay. Well, anyway, we should probably.
That's part of the podcast, isn't it?
Like it is, yeah.
We're doing over the,
you know,
this over is the internet these days.
We're in a pandemic, so people will understand. Why don't we start to wrap and then we'll come back really, really soon before people even expect it and we'll give them something else. But are you okay? You taking care of yourself? You good?
I am. I've bought some dumbbells from Rebel. Like I said, like the CCTV, you would have, if it was on today, if the first episode was today, you would have seen me doing some moves.
So let me get this straight. Everyone's lining up for toilet paper. You're going out for dumbbells.
Yeah, I'm good with toilet paper, mate. That's okay. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know how, but I'm good.
Okay.
But yeah, I needed dumbbells and I've got some 10s and 20s if you ever need them.
Now, when you bring them home, because I believe you're without a vehicle at the moment.
Yes, that's right.
So you're carrying these dumbbells home.
No, I've got an Uber.
I was going to say, that's your first workout.
It was 50% off. So I was like, I'm saving with the gym membership. I'm saving with the Uber. Why not?
Hey, I think you and I might be driving Ubers soon. I don't know where anyone's going, but, you know.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. We've got to work out the industries that are going to really flourish over the next few months.
Well, I mean, Uber Eats apparently is, like, all delivery services are apparently going to be doing pretty good, and they're redefining how they do it, and they're wearing gloves and leaving the food outside your house and all these sort of things. So
it's like a hipster meals on wheels sort of situation. Without, like, the gravy situation isn't as bad as what it is on wheels. I remember my great grandparents got meals on wheels, Schnaz.
Yeah.
And there's always gravy hanging out under the foil.
Old people love gravy. That's a thing.
I don't know if it might have been at the start of the speed hump era, and it was just gravy was going everywhere in the back of the truck. But, yeah, it's interesting with all these places popping up doing takeaway and delivery now.
You know what's really struggling, which is close to my heart, is the, I guess for want of a better word, music business.
Yeah.
And you would have noticed on a big scale, a lot of people doing the live video streaming, live home shows, some for free, some for money, some for charity, is a whole mixture of them. And that's really... not taking off, but it's really everywhere you look. If you follow a musician, they're probably going to be doing that, particularly people who are at a small level and play out a lot and rely on that for an income. I feel sorry for those people. I feel sorry for the people who own bars and restaurants. I mean, I feel sorry for every industry pretty much. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess supermarkets and some retail are going to do well, some won't. yeah, these are crazy times we're living in, that's for sure.
Yeah, I saw what an artist that I really like on Instagram today, and he was doing like a live video on Insta. Yeah. His name's Anthony Hamilton.
Okay.
Like a R&B singer. Not R&B, he's more soul. Like he's done some tracks with some rappers and stuff as well, but he did this version of his song Charlene on Instagram, and it's so good.
Okay.
I reckon you'd really enjoy him, Schnaz. He's busted out a few albums over the years, but yeah, really good voice. One of the best voices, I've ever come across.
Does Joe Abiunis like him?
Probably. Yeah, like him. We were going to go to a gig in May.
I was going to go to a gig with her in April, two gigs, but no more.
There you go. Yeah, so she's got three less gigs on her flight.
Joe's going to be free every night for the rest of her year, where she, you know, she loves the show, that's for sure.
Well, that's what I was thinking, like, just, you know, with the Spotify era, it doesn't really help them, because we're giving them a tenth of a cent every
that's
time
true.
We listen to the song.
That's
you
true.
Would know, Schnaz.
I do know.
I've been trying to play your album on loop since bloody 1987. I think your $8.45 is in the mail, mate.
Well, can you keep doing it? Like, just get it on different streams.
Just multiple Spotify accounts around the room.
Please, please, please.
Yeah.
All right, Brooksy, I will talk to you very shortly, but this has been a blast. How good is this? You're right. True. There is positives in pandemics.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's get together. We'll talk. We'll do a curb one, I think. Yeah. And the good thing too is, Schnaz, I think as we go along, if we talk about something in an episode, maybe we can delve a bit deeper in the next episode.
Sure.
If it's something that's close to our heart and we really need to spend more time on it.
Sounds
but
good.
I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is something we need to talk about and review the season. I know there's a few of our friends and people out there that love Seinfeld and Larry David and his work. And it'd be good for us to start critiquing stuff close to our heart.
Now, we will get into it in the episode, but I think this is one of the strongest seasons they've ever had out of the... Is it 10 seasons now or 9?
It's 10th season, yeah.
I think it's top... I'm going to just throw it out there, top two or three.
Ooh, yeah, I think it's up there. I think it's up there. There's some definite classics in the season, which we'll delve into tomorrow, and some great cameos.
I just can't think of too many weak moments. And what we always do in the stats department is, and even when I see you guys in production, we'll be like, what do you think? And, you know, 6 out of the 9 episodes is like, that was brilliant. That was... almost the best episode ever. And there's been maybe 2 or 3 where you go, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that's
it definitely
difference.
Got better as the season progressed. But we'll delve into that tomorrow, mate, once you've seen the episode.
All right. What are you going to do for the rest of the night? Work out?
Nah, well, what time? It's 10:53, Schnaz.
Is it?
Not that time really matters these days, but yeah, it is 10:53.
Nothing matters anymore, Brooksy. Nothing matters.
Nothing matters. Yeah. Nah, time doesn't matter. But yeah, I'm getting to sleep. I'm going to tomorrow morning get up and potentially help out with anything at work.
Yes. Yes. All right. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Good talk. I'll catch you later, Schnaz.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you, mate.
Bye-bye.